ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 13. The Hamsa Avatar answers questions. Text 35. A word meaning drishtim sight. Tataha, from that illusion. Prati nivartya, pulling away. Nivritta, ceased. Trishna, material hankering. Tushnim, silent. Bhavet, one should become. Nija, one's own, of the soul. Sukha, happiness. Anubhava, perceiving. Niriya, without material activities. Sandrishyate, is observed. Kvacha, sometimes. Yadi, if. Idam, this material world. Avastu, of not being reality. Buddhya, by the consciousness. Tyaktam, giving up. Brahmaya, further illusion. Na, not. Bhavet, may become. Smritihi, remembrance. Anipatat, until giving up the material body. Drishtim tata priti nivartya nivritto trishnas. Tushnim bhaven nija sukhanu bhavo niriha. Sandrishyate kvacha nyadidam avastu buddhya. Tyaktvam brahmaya na bhavet smritira nipata. Trishtim tata priti nivartya nivritta trishnas. Tushnim bhaveni jasukanu bhavo niriha. Sandrishyate kvacha yadidam avastu buddhya. Tyaktam brahmaya na bhavet smritir anipata. Drishtim tata priti nivartya nivritta trishnas. Tushnim bhaven nija sukhanu bhavo niriha. Sandrishyate kvacha yadidam avastu buddhya. Tyaktam brahmaya na bhavet smritira nipata. Drishtim tata priti nivartya nivritta trishnas. Sandrishyate kvacha yadidam avastu buddhya. Yattam brahmaya na bhavet smritira nipata. Drishtim tata priti nivartya nivritta trishnas. Drishtim tata priti nivartya nivritta trishnas.
Tushim ave nidasukanu bhava niriha. Sandeshate kachanya didama vastu bhutya. Yatam ramaya nabhavesh mitiram vata. Vrishtim data prativartya nivritta krishna. Tushim bhave nidha sukhanu bhavo niriha. Sandrishyate pachaya dhidam avastu buddhya. Yaktam brahmaya nabhavet nityam bhātāt.
Ladies.
Vrishtim tatha prati nivartya nivritta krishnas. Tushim bhave nidha sukhanu bhavo niriha. Sandrishyate kachaya didam avastu buddhya. Tatram brahmaya nabhavet smitira nipatat. Deshtim tata priti nivati nivitta krishnas. Tushnim bhave nidha sukhanu bhavo niriha. Sandrishyate kachaya didam avastu buddhya. Tatvam brahmaya nabhavet smitira nipata.
Translation. Having understood the temporary illusory nature of material things, and thus having pulled one's vision away from illusion, one should remain without material desires. By experiencing the happiness of the soul, one should give up material speaking and activities. If sometimes one must observe the material world, one should remember that it is not ultimate reality, and therefore one has given it up. By such constant remembrance, up till the time of death, one will not again fall into illusion. Report by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. To maintain the material body, one cannot avoid eating and sleeping. In these and other ways, one will sometimes be forced to deal with the material world and the physical aspects of one's own body. At such times, one should remember that the material world is not actual reality, and that therefore one has given it up to become Krishna conscious. By such constant remembrance, by enjoying spiritual bliss within oneself, and by retiring from any material activities of the mind, speech, or body, one will not fall into material illusion. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments as follows. The living entity, while living in the external energy of the Lord, should give up any anxiety for sense gratification and should not act for his personal enjoyment. Rather, one should search out spiritual bliss through devotional service to the Supreme Lord. By reviving one's relationship with Lord Krishna, one will understand that if one accepts any material object for one's personal enjoyment, attachment will inevitably develop, and thus one will be bewildered by illusion. By gradually developing one's spiritual body, one will no longer desire to enjoy anything within the material world. Om jnana timirantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. This verse begins with a reference to the last verse. It says, free from that illusion. Drishtim tata pratinivartya. Pulling away from the sight of that illusion. So that illusion specifically was mentioned in the last verse as the three states of consciousness. The soul exists only in one state of consciousness, Brahman consciousness, but we identify with things in this world. So these three states of consciousness that we think we're in, these are all illusion. Incidentally, these three states, we've been talking about them, a few different verses. The wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep. So sushupti, deep sleep, I've come across a couple of times recently. I was looking for the reference to show you that I didn't make this up, but I couldn't find it. But two different acharyas, I've come across this. They say that in deep sleep, one experiences Brahman. So every night when we go to sleep, we get Brahman realization. And the explanation is, there's not a lot of elaboration, so maybe it raises a lot of questions. I know it does for me. So I can't answer them because it wasn't elaborated on where I came across it. But one explanation, short explanation, was that the jiva is always conscious of something. So when you're in external consciousness like we are now, when we're awake, then we're conscious of the physical things, the material body and senses and so on. And in sleep, we're also conscious of something, but we're conscious of that subtle world, the subtle body. So when you're not conscious of either one of those, there's only one thing left to be conscious of, and that's yourself or Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi, we're also Brahman. So that's where your consciousness goes. So every night we get Brahman realization. Of course, one implication of that is, well, that's how great it is to get Brahman realization. We do it every night. And the yogis are, I'm always thinking about these yogis, how we're hearing here about giving up the world. So these people, just like these Naga Babas, they live completely naked. It's just just think of it. It's amazing. To have no shelter, not even clothes on your body. It's quite amazing the austerities that people perform. But what are they doing it for? For that, what we get every night when we go to sleep. So. Because it's almost like your consciousness is practically extinguished. You're not experiencing anything really. We have to have a spiritual body that we can experience, as it says here at the end of this purport. So here it says we have to withdraw from the illusion, the thinking this material world is real. I want to read a little something. This comes from Hari Swari Prabhu's A Transcendental Diary. This is from June 1976, when Srila Prabhupada was in New York for the Rath Yatra. The context here is that Prabhupada was just interviewed. This is the sequence in the book. He was just interviewed by a magazine called Trans India. So after that, then there's this little paragraph. He says, before the Trans India interview, one of the devotees had supplied to Srila Prabhupada a Time magazine to give him an idea of what type of magazine Trans India was. After the departure of the interviewer, Prabhupada browsed through the Time for a few minutes. Looking up from his desk and pushing the magazine away to its edge, he told me, "No one should read these magazines. They are presented in such a way that it makes the material world appear as if it is real." So, the material world is not real. We think it is. This is a picture that we get in this verse, it seems to me, the overriding picture. It says here, you give up the material world because you realize that it's not real. And because you have to live in the world, you may be attracted to it. And it's being reinforced within us that this material world is real. In fact, here, I thought this line from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, I thought was very nice in this purport. It says, if one accepts any material object for one's personal enjoyment, attachment will inevitably develop, and thus one will be bewildered by illusion. So when you enjoy something in this world, then you become attached to it. Naturally, you want more of it. You want to associate more with that thing. But that thing, it's not real, but you think it's real, of course, because you're getting what you think is pleasure out of it. So that's the illusion. You get more and more an illusion the more you try to enjoy this material world, the things that aren't actually real, because they're giving you something that you think is real pleasure, but actually it's not. So this verse, the translation says, having understood the temporary illusory nature of material things, and thus having pulled one's vision away from illusion, one should remain without material desires. So this verse begins on the point of where one has already decided that this material world is not where it's happening. It's not where success and fulfillment and happiness are going to be found. So this, of course, is our state in coming to Krishna consciousness, our state of mind. We all made that decision. This material world is not where I'm going to find what I'm looking for. So let me give it up. And right in the beginning, at least for many devotees, right in the beginning, there's a strong sense of just turning our backs to this whole material world, realizing that it's an illusion. Unfortunately, over time, if we start turning back in the other direction as we live in this world, I have this general feeling, and maybe it applies to myself. I remember a time in my years in Krishna consciousness where I didn't hardly even know who the president of the country was, to speak of any other news. Maybe I would see a headline walking back one of these newsstands on the street, you know, out taking a japa walk or something, but that was the extent of what I knew what was going on in the world. So I'm afraid that now I know a little too much about what's going on in this material world. Because it's so easy, isn't it? Now that we have, of course, with the computer, it's hard to escape if you have a computer. The whole world is there. No matter where you are, even now I think you go to Vrindavan, especially go to the Dham, so you're like cut off of everything. You don't know what's going on. You didn't used to in the old days. I mean, you couldn't even barely call America hardly, what to speak of getting on the internet. So now even if you're in the holy Dham, the whole world of Maya is there at your fingertips. So here we're told that one should be in a state of consciousness. Now, this is all illusion. I've rejected that. I don't want to have anything to do with that. It says, Nivritta Trishna. I've ceased material hankering. This term comes up in a very famous verse, Nivritta Tarshaya Upagiyamana Babaushada Chotamano Birama Kautama Shloka Gunanuvada Uman Virajeta Vinapashubnat. Comes right at the beginning of the 10th canto. 10th canto, first chapter, fourth verse. So there it's said that we should hear about Krishna because that's the cure for our material disease. And especially those who are Nivritta Trishna. Nivritta Tarshaya, it says in the verse, but in the purport, Prabhupada often phrases as Nivritta Trishna, which is the same as it's phrased here. Trishna means material hankering. So one has given up. Basically, the idea is what I was just explaining. That one has decided that I want to get out of this material world. I don't want to have anything to do with this material world. So that's what's being said here, Nivritta Trishna. So the cure, when you make that choice, make that decision, then the cure is hearing about Krishna, hearing Krishna Katha. That's the medicine that you take to cure yourself of that habit of always hankering for material things. Then it says, Tushnim Bhavet, one should be silent. And Nija Sukha Anubhava, perceiving the happiness in one's own soul. This is the idea, of course, of the yogi. The yogi can be anywhere and enjoy. Again, this idea, it's so amazing. We don't have to do it, but people did it previously. They would just leave everything, go live in the Himalayas with nothing. I mean, just try walking out into the woods and say, I'm going to spend the night here, just right nearby in the neighborhood. Even with your tent, you might not want to do it because you're afraid the skunks might come in or something. But imagine when you have scorpions and spiders and snakes and tigers and all kinds of wild animals. That's why it's said in the Bhagavad Gita where the qualities of a devotee are listed. The first one is fearlessness. And Prabhupada said this is especially for the sannyasi, because the sannyasi has to go anywhere. Just like Narada Muni, he went everywhere. So he has to go everywhere and he can't be afraid. He has to think, why should I be afraid? Krishna's with me. What better protection could I have? Better than having a whole army with me. I have Krishna with me. He'll protect me. That has to be the consciousness. And of course, there has to be a sense of pleasure, because how can you live with nothing unless you're getting some kind of pleasure from within? If you're not getting any external gratification. Of course, we know today, just like these Naga Babas, I think most of them are probably smoking ganja. They're getting their kicks somehow. But ideally, the yogi is experiencing atmarati, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. The sage who is experiencing happiness within, he doesn't need this to have relationship with this external world to get satisfaction. So here it says, when it's silent, it's hard to be silent also, isn't it? Of course, we're not silent as yogis are, but we're silent by talking, we're supposed to be talking about Krishna, that's our silence. And then, I was going to mention this world, anubhava is perceiving. Bhakti paresha anubhavo viraktir anakyacha. Under this verse it says that Krishna consciousness, the result of prapadyamana, taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, is that one gets bhakti, paresha, anubhava, and virakti, these three things, one after, or actually they happen simultaneously, trikala eka, at one time these three things happen. What are they? Bhakti and paresha anubhava. So this here says anubhava, perceiving. So we get bhakti by taking shelter of Krishna. First of all, this is an interesting point. How do you get bhakti? By taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. You decide, I'm not going to take shelter of Maya, I'm going to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And the result of that is Krishna reciprocates by giving you devotion. So you get bhakti and you get paresha anubhava. Para isha anubhava. Para isha means Krishna. Para Isha, the Supreme Lord, Anubhava, you perceive Him, you get actual perception of Krishna, and Virakti, you get detachment. So in the verse, of course, that analogy is there. It says it's just like eating. When you eat, you get tushti pushti, and then, what is it? Chutrit apaya, or chut apaya means the ruling. So you get tushti pushti. You get satisfaction, you get nourishment, tushti is satisfaction, pushti is nourishment, and you get chut apaya, your hunger is satisfied. So when you eat, these three things happen automatically at the same time. So the same way when you take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, you get these three things. You get bhakti, you get perception of Krishna, and you get detachment from this world. So here it says about anubhava of nija sukha of the self, but that perception of that sukha is actually coming from Krishna. So then it says, again, this idea of not reality. Sandrishyate kvacha yadidam avastu buddhya. So the Sanskrit word for sub-real substantial thing is vastu. Dharma prajita kaita vautra paramo niyamatsaranam satam vejam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatayam mulanam. So vastu, the real vastu, Srimad Bhagavatam helps us see what is vastu. What is the reality? We're caught up in this illusion and we can't see. But the Bhagavatam is what gives us the vision to see. Drishti, the word comes up a few times here in this verse, a couple of times at least. Sandrishyate is observed, and the first word was drishtim, so these were related, drishti, to see. So what do you have to, you have to come to the state of avastu buddhya tyaktvam, give up this, tyaktvam means give up, avastu buddhya, buddhya means to consider, to think about, to think this world is real, you have to give that up. And then it says, so now you've made the choice. I've given everything up. Now I'm going to detach myself from the world, but I still have to interact with the world in some way. So it says, so to protect yourself, then what do? Smriti. You have to remember this. You have to remember this point. that this is all illusion. You decided once that it was all illusion, and maybe you keep forgetting. So you have to remember it. Smriti. So why? That's why we have Bhagavatam class. That's why we read Prabhupada's books. We're always trying to remind ourselves, because we're crazy people. So we have to remind ourselves what the real thing is. So you do that anipatat, until giving up this body. Nipata. Nipata actually means to fall down. Up to the time your body falls down. Nipat. Pranipatena. Prabhupada comments on this. Pranipatena. That means, of course, tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. One approaches a spiritual master by falling down. So there we have the pras of it, P-R-A. I had in mind that Prabhupada often, there's this line that Prabhupada uses, prakrishta rupena nipat, nipat, prakrishta rupena nipat. He would often, so here's this word, nipat. So prakrishta, that's pranipat. In other words, when you fall down, but you fall down completely, this is what pra means. So prakrishta rupena, Prabhupada always translates it just as completely. So when you completely fall down or offer your obeisances, dandavats, that's pranipatena. So his body also, of course, falls down. In any case, Prabhupada, I found it interesting. I thought, it seems like Prabhupada says this a lot. I have it in my mind, this phrase, prakrishta rupena nipat, or prakrishta rupena. So prakrishta rupena, as he just translates it as fully or completely. So whenever the prefix pra is there, it means complete. It expands the meaning of the word. That's why, in fact, the acharyas, I think it's Sridhar Swami who first mentions this, in his commentary on the second verse of the Bhagavatam, dharma projita kaitavotra. So it could say dharma ujita kaitavotra. Ujita means to give up. But if you say projita, praujita, then it means to give up everything. And as the acharyas say, it means to give up. That includes liberation. It doesn't mean just giving up the things of this material world, but it also means giving up the quest for liberation. So pranipatena, prakrishta rupena nipat, means we offer our obeisances fully to the spiritual master. And what does it mean, of course? Dandavats is a sign of full submission. It's not supposed to be a mechanical thing. It means I'm fully surrendered. I'm doing full dandavats. I'm fully surrendered. So this is what's being presented here. This I said you do. So again, the verse ends with this word, anipata, up to the time of death. You have to do this up to the time of death. You'll be protected. If you keep reminding yourself that this world is an illusion, and what am I doing? Why am I living this life as a Hare Krishna? Because this world is an illusion. And I have to stop being attracted to it. I have to realize that it's not real. We think of spans of time. I'm always amazed. I think about, for example, the lifetime of Lord Brahma. I may have mentioned before that one time I did a calculation, because it says that Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys for a moment. It was just his moment. And it was 1 year. So I did a calculation. Of course, he lives 311 trillion of our years. So 1 year, or 1 moment of Brahma, according to, or 1 year of our time, is 1/100,000th of a second for Lord Brahma. So you wonder, well, how could he do anything in 1/100,000th of a second? But, so just imagine these spans of time, this idea of a trillion, our mind can't even grasp it. So we're thinking we're living here for 100 years. It seems like a long time. So many things happen. And so many things of consequence and so many substantial things. But even 100 years, if a year is 1/100,000th of a second, so our whole lifetime is 1/10,000th of a second for Lord Brahma. So how significant is it? How important is it? It's nothing. It's just a flash, it's a flicker, it's a blink, it's an eye blink. But we're so enamored of it. Oh, this is happening here, this is happening there, and this is going on, and the president said this and that, and all. We think it's so momentous, but what is it? It's nothing. It has no value. No, it's not vastu. It's not the real thing. It's like a dream, of course. That's the idea also. It's just like a dream. So again, we're hearing class repeatedly, we're hearing Bhagavatam repeatedly, so we can continue with the conviction that we had, keep it strong to progress in our path in Krishna consciousness. So I'll read the translation again. Having understood the temporary illusory nature of material things, and thus having pulled one's vision away from illusion, one should remain without material desires. Actually, when I read this, I think, it's so easy to say these things, but to actually do them, isn't it? To remain without material desires. By experiencing the happiness of the soul, one should give up material speaking and activities. Sometimes it seems hard to access that, doesn't it? If sometimes one must observe the material world, one should remember that it is not ultimate reality, and therefore one has given it up. By such constant remembrance, up till the time of death, one will not again fall into illusion. Some discussion? Maharaj.
Thank you, Nagaraj, for... This is quite a philosophical chapter here. There's every devotee that upholds this idea that the material world is unreal, it's not reality, you'll find another equally learned devotee who will say that it is real. So that's a whole discussion. I'd like to write something about that. I was just hearing Bhakti Vijayapuna Swami. He was stressing how it's real, it's real. Madhvacharya was really, really stressed that it's real. So, you know, it gets into language and that kind of thing. I would just say that, and Prabhupada will often say, it's real but temporary. But then another place, Prabhupada would say, in discussions, he would sometimes say, if it's temporary, how could it be real? So there are different, even in Western philosophy, they get into, you know, phenomenology, and there are different philosophers that just say, you know, whatever the ultimate may be, that's what we have to live with, that's what you have to work with, so let's just call it real, or act as if it were real. Ultimately, the standard in Bhagavad Gita is nashato vidite bhavo nabhavo vidite sata. So by that rigorous standard, the material world is unreal. But then at the same time, it's not quite as unreal as the Mayavadis say. Because there, as I was mentioning in a class just the other day, that it's one thing to say there's no palm tree and there's no oasis. It's another thing to say there's no such thing as a mirage. Virtual reality requires a lot of work to create. So there's something going on there. Just some thoughts. I could just throw in one 15-second bleep here. For preaching, I was thinking that if we're preaching to, like karmis, so to speak, or materialistic people, then it's better to stress how the world is unreal. Because they need to be weaned from that false attachment. But then if we're preaching to jnanis, or persons who are like Buddhist or impersonalist, then it's good to, and we have every right to also uphold the idea that it's the energy of the Lord. It's Krishna's energy. How could it be unreal? We can use it in Krishna's service if we regain its spiritual nature. Anyway, does that sound okay? Or?
Yeah, there's many ways to approach this topic. In fact, I remember this nasate vijite bhavo na bhavo. So Prabhupada often uses the word, it does not exist. But I always want to put in parentheses, it does not continue to exist. Because it seems like that's really what Prabhupada means, in the sense it doesn't exist because it's not permanent. But it at the moment, it exists in a certain sense. So this material world is like that. It does exist temporarily, but really what the reality is what exists always. It always exists. That's what the real thing is. Yes, Mark.
we would commit the sin of over-participation. But there's a verse that most of us have not been familiar with, and I was very glad to find it. And it gives a very, very deep insight, and I can't quote it verbatim, but basically what it's saying is that anything that did not exist in the past and will not exist in the future has no existence of its own in the present. And it goes on to say that anything that is caused and revealed by something else is nothing other than that other thing. So you keep going back, and then that thing depends, and finally you get to Sarva Karana Karanam, or Krishna. So in other words, it has existence, but its existence is borrowed from something more fundamental. And then how deep can you go? Finally you get to the Absolute Truth. Hare Krishna.
Madam Mohan Prabhu?
I was just remembering where I think it's the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, the five categories that you understand from the Bhagavad Gita. Four of them are eternal and one of them is temporary. Mm-hmm. So the idea that the karma, which was the temporary, which is the manifestation of how the pradhan goes through its all its different stages, because that's the eternal part of the material nature. So it's... going along with Maharaj's verse that he just paraphrased, was that you have to see it in relationship to the other four, and that way it makes sense.
All right. Something else, Prabhu?
Just a thought that comes to my mind. Sometimes it's easy to overlook the smaller things. just like Hanuman, he was very eager to say, the spider, he's only a little bit, you know, it does a little bit at a little time. Or the shooting star, it exists, but it's very short.
Mm-hmm.
And Krishna puts a lot of energy into creating all the species, whether they're short or long existence. So there's also that thing.
Yeah. Of course, we say everything is, it's real because it's Krishna's energy. But with the show that's being put on is just a temporary manifestation. It's it's not exactly a real thing. It's like you're creating an illusion. Maya means illusion, also trick. Krishna's a magician, so he's making something seem real that's not actually real. Although the substance that's creating that thing is real, it's Krishna's energy. In fact, Prabhupada would rail against the idea that is Brahman such a jagan mitya? How can it be mitya? If Brahman is real, how can Krishna's creation be unreal? No, it's real. It's made of real stuff, Krishna's energy. But what's being presented is an illusion. It's a mirage. So in that sense, it's not real. All right, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.